You're about to watch what we call an extended clip of the Young Turks. And the reality is it's somewhere in the middle. It's a little longer than our YouTube clips, but it's actually shorter than the whole 2-hour show, which you can get if you're a member. You can get it ad free and make sure you catch every news story we do that day. You're going to love it as a full show. That's at tytnetwork.com/join. Thanks for watching.
Welcome to the Young Turks, everybody. It is a Tuesday. It is May 1st, May Day. Steve knows that.
May Day.
Yep. We have Steve O from the Aggressive Progressives, you know, OG around here at the Young Turks. Maz Jobrani is here. Maz, where can people find more stuff from you?
They can find me on Twitter at Maz Jobrani, Instagram at Maz Jobrani, MazJobrani.com for shows, as well as my Netflix special, Immigrant. So you can find me many ways.
Awesome.
So I had the privilege of seeing Maz in person not too long ago. Stand up routine. It was a short set, like maybe about 10-15 minutes.
Yeah.
Outstanding. I was in tears from laughing so hard. It was such good stuff.
I'm good for 10 minutes, people. Watch Immigrant on Netflix. Watch it.
Awesome. When does it come out? Yeah. Is it now?
It's out. It's out on there right now. That was my first Netflix original, and then I had a couple other specials that were Showtime specials that are on Netflix. So people cannot miss me. I'm on YouTube. I got my own channel. I'm trying to diversify, you know?
That's great. Yeah. You're fantastic. I've seen you on this show before, and you're always awesome. Something else you guys can tune into, Cenk Uygur, who is from The Young Turks, this show. Don't miss him on Comedy Central tomorrow. He's on The Opposition with Jordan Klepper. Tune in at 11:30 Eastern time on Comedy Central. And I think it also is at Pacific time. They do those 3-hour blocks. Wednesday, May 2nd, tomorrow, 2018. Yeah, Jordan Klepper is really funny, really good. Also does a former Daily Show person, has his own show on Comedy Central. Check it out. We have a full show for you today. We're going to talk about Israel and Iran. We're going to talk about the caravan of migrants making their way from Mexico, from Central America, actually, all the way through Mexico. And they have arrived in America. We'll show you what's happened to them since they have gotten here to the border. Also, it's May Day, which is International Workers Day. We'll talk about the various marches and protests that are happening and have happened across the United States. Also, there was a raid of another Trump associate, but you'll never guess who did the raiding. It is an amazing story. Also, it's not just Trump who has amazing hair in this story. And hopefully we have time to talk about this, what Trump did not talk about when he went to Michigan the other day. But first, we'll talk about the story that is at the top of everyone's mind right now. The questions. So many questions were leaked that Robert Mueller, the special counsel who is investigating collusion, obstruction of justice, all of the above surrounding the Donald Trump scandals, he submitted ostensibly 49 different questions that Donald Trump might have to answer should he submit to actually talking to the special counsel. They ended up in the hands of the New York Times. We're not sure exactly how they got there, who leaked them, how they leaked them. This is kind of a contentious issue. But I'm going to give you an example, a few examples of the kinds of questions that were asked. They revolved around Flynn, Comey, Jeff Sessions, and then also just like a bunch of questions that are on everybody's mind. It really covered everything. On Jeff Sessions, here's a sample of a couple questions. What did you think and do regarding the recusal of Mr. Sessions? What efforts did you make to try to get him to change his mind? Did you discuss whether Mr. Sessions would protect you and reference past attorneys general? On Flynn, the questions were, what did you know about phone calls that Mr. Flynn made with the Russian ambassador, Sergei Kislyak, in late December, all the way to how was the decision made to fire Flynn on February 13th, 2017? And then just like the stuff you've been wondering about, things like, what was the purpose of your May 2017 tweet? Just like a random tweet, you know, that kind of thing. Pick a tweet. They're kind of asking about whether he should be held responsible, it kind of seems, for the things he puts out in social media. And then also things like, what did you mean in your interview with Lester Holt, was the other question on that graphic. What do you guys think about these questions? Was there anything that jumped out to you about the questions or what?
No, these are the questions that are on everyone's minds who are following this case. Mm-hmm. So nothing jumped out in my mind. I was actually a little bit surprised at, or I guess I'm not that surprised at how open-ended the questions are. Mm-hmm. You know, what were you thinking? How did you feel? you know, why did you do this? There were no specific questions that required a particular answer. They're all kind of broad-based questions. And to me, that's because, you know, as a prosecutor, you would ask that, you would ask, I guess, broad-based questions if you're just kind of fishing or trying to explore as many facts as possible. You're not trying to cross-examine him and nail him to a certain answer necessarily by asking him very direct questions.
Is this just try? Yeah, go
ahead. You know, that's funny. I didn't think about it like that. About, you're right. How did you feel? What were you thinking? It's maybe it's like a forced therapy session. You know, like, how do you feel when you're doing those tweets? How do you feel about that? Wouldn't that be great if like Donald Trump came out and goes, I did the interview and I'm a changed man. Yeah. I'm going to stop tweeting. And it was just, it's a therapy that session in disguise.
It was the that moment when Trump started crying when he realized, I've just been repressing so much. Thank you, Robert Mueller.
What were you thinking? I don't know.
I was wrong. Robert Mueller is a fantastic person.
Yeah.
Giant mind. The biggest mind ever. He's wonderful.
You know what's crazy for me is when I see this, it's crazy because now I guess Trump is saying that he didn't leak it, that his people didn't leak it, and we're trying to figure out who leaked it. It's this rabbit hole that anytime something happens, we just go deeper. Now we're arguing about who leaked the questions.
Right.
And it's like, listen, the questions are there, and the only explanation that I've heard so far that makes some sense is that it was, that as people have leaked it, because they know he watches TV and they're trying to encourage him not to go.
Exactly. We have a video of an interview that someone who used to work for Robert Mueller, it's the first video in our graphics. But yeah, someone who used to work for Robert Mueller, like, who does look like a frightened deer in the headlights. I will prime you for that. But he is kind of explaining exactly what Maz was referring to. Let's take a look at that video.
It would seem to me potentially that the White House counsel's office let this float out into the media in an effort to influence the president's thinking about whether or not to do an interview. And I think that they'll gauge reaction of people to these questions and help influence the president to decide whether he should sit down or not sit down. I think that there's a great debate going on within the White House counsel's office about this, and I think this may be one way to try to shape the president's thinking about it, in addition to the advice that he's getting from his lawyers.
Yeah, the previous presidents, you would just sit down with them and say, this is important. Is it that Trump won't take something seriously unless he sees it on television?
I think that's certainly part of it. I also think that he's not good at taking advice from his people. And the other problem is that he surrounds himself with sycophants who always tells him what he wants to hear. If you're not a sycophant, then you get fired or you get, you know, cast out in some way. But you know, on a separate issue, I'm actually not in favor of all of this coverage, to be honest.
Why?
Because when there's an investigation, I want there to be an investigation. And just do the investigation and come back to us when you're done. But the constant speculating by the media and the gossipy, salacious, scandalous nature of it all, to me, is a distraction from a lot of important issues that we should be covering. And now, on top of the distractions, we have a spectacle on top of a spectacle. Because now, as Maz pointed out, we have to figure out who leaked it. Was it them? Was it us? You know, what was the purpose? So it becomes a circus. And when the circus happens, a lot of the important stuff, even this investigation itself, has not taken a back seat to the process of the investigation.
But you see, that's what I think he thrives on.
Yes.
He is P.T. Barnum.
Yes.
You call it a circus, it is a circus.
Yes.
I always say he used to have a reality show on one network. Now he's got a reality show on every network,
right,
including us. Everyone's talking about him, right? Before, when he was just The Apprentice, you would tune in on Wednesday. Maybe the next day, if he says something stupid there, we make fun of it. But now it's 24/7, and he is a master of doing this stuff. Mm-hmm. The reason he tweets on top of this stuff, we know he's a liar. The only way this actual interrogation, there's two ways the interrogation works. One is they trip him up, and he just gets really pissed off and just starts, you know, has the with the Jack Nicholson moment,
yeah, right?
You can't handle the truth. If that happens,
you're goddamn right. I ordered the code red.
You know, that's one way we get. The other way that we get him is if he does this interview on a lie detector test, which, by the way, he might pass because he's so good at lying, you know. But he's a sociopath, and so it's. You're absolutely right. It's a circus, and it keeps going. And it's like, you know what? Just zip it up. Do the investigation. But then you know what's discouraging is when you find out, because everyone who – we all know he's lied. Mm-hmm. We all know that he knows there was collusion. Of course there was – he knows. If every – Manafort, Kushner, you name it, all around him. They all met with the Russians at some point.
So what do? Do you just, like, when he tweets about this, do you ignore it? Or do you, like, there's this instinct I have to call him out. Like, I have this graphic, like, there's a tweet that we don't have to go to it, but I have a graphic set up where there's a tweet where he's like, you know, there's collusion that never existed. There's no questions on collusion. And then I had prepared, like, six questions about collusion. Like, it's my instinct to say, like, all right, Donald Trump, you tweeted this. Now, the options I have are, one, I can just kind of let it go.
We need to talk about a relatively new show called the Republic, or UNFTR. As a Young Turks fan, you already know that the government, the media, and corporations are constantly peddling lies that serve the interests of the rich and powerful. But now there's a podcast dedicated to unraveling those lies, debunking the conventional wisdom. In each episode of the Republic, or UNFTR, the host delves into a different historical episode or topic that's generally misunderstood or purposely obfuscated by the so-called powers that be, featuring in-depth research, razor-sharp commentary, and just the right amount of vulgarity. The UNFTR podcast takes a sledgehammer to what you thought you knew about some of the nation's most sacred historical cows. But don't just take my word for it. The New York Times described UNFTR as consistently compelling and educational, aiming to challenge conventional wisdom and upend the historical narratives that were taught in school. For as the great philosopher Yoda once put it, "You must unlearn what you have learned." And that's true whether you're in Jedi training or you're uprooting and exposing all the propaganda and disinformation you've been fed over the course of your lifetime. So search for UNFDR in your podcast app today and get ready to get informed, angered, and entertained all at the same time.
And just be like, I'm going to ignore it. And I talked to, like, psychiatrists who are like, what do you do? He's like, they say, if there's bad behavior, just ignore it and it'll stop. But at the same time, like, he still is the president of the United States. He still has, like, this major role. Am I going to just let it go? Or do I have to say, well, there's a question where it says, what do you know about the 27 meeting in the Seychelles with Eric Prince? What do you know about Ukrainian peace proposal with Mr. Cohen on 2017? What knowledge did you have of any outreach by your campaign, including Paul Manafort, to Russia about potential assistance to the campaign? Those are explicit questions about collusion. Because I know on the other side, Trump's fans are all going to see that tweet and be like, you know what? There was no questions about collusion in there. Oh, there's no question about collusion.
Right.
I've been in conversations with Trump fans who have said, you know what? There's no question. Like, they'll take a bite from a lie he's told and just been like, that's the truth.
So you're right, Brett. I mean, he is the president of the United States. So you have to cover him. You can't just ignore the guy. And he does foment this kind of energy and the need for coverage. At the same time, I don't think you're going to convince anyone who's a Trump supporter that they should stop being a supporter because of this investigation or Russia or collusion.
Right.
They already have their minds made up that these are all lies and they're already on his side. I think the way to get to those Trump supporters is to show them how they have been tricked by Trump into supporting him, because everything that he promised them is not coming to fruition. He didn't bring back 100% of the coal mining jobs. He hasn't done anything for any of the people that actually voted for him. Even the tax cut's a giant fraud. It goes to the wealthy. So I think there are many issues that we can cover and focus on if your goal is to bring Trump down and convince his supporters to stop supporting him. This is the wrong way to go, I think, because what you're really doing here is dividing people into teams, and they're already on his team. So they believe his tweets when he says Mueller's a liar, Mueller's in bed with people who are out to get him, and the media is fake. They already believe that. So I don't think arguing with them on Twitter and calling them out, as you say, really helps that much. But that's my take on it.
Listen, I think you both have good points. I think to Brett's point, the unfortunate thing is, no matter what you say, his tweet with his followers is going to take precedence over whatever your arguments are, your arguments are, the whole thing, even logic.
Mm-hmm.
And so two things. First of all, just for your own health, I bet you if they did an analysis of the level of anxiety in this country, it's skyrocketed since this guy came in. Because we all, like you just said, when I see a tweet from him, my instinct is, I'm going to get, I'm ready to go, man. But I've tried recently to, I got kids, and I go, sometimes I'm sitting there with my phone, and I'm like, my God, put the phone down and talk to your kids. Like, be in this moment. There's more to life than Donald Trump's tweets. Now, that said, you don't ignore it. You wait till either late at night, or you've had a couple drinks, and now you go really hardcore at him. You know what I'm saying? Yes. Or sometimes like a tweet will come in my head. I'm like, oh my God, I got to wake up and send this because it feels so good, right? I mean, it does. I think there's probably some psychological thing to it.
The psychological studies I've seen surrounding like, should I vent or should I just ignore it, right? They are this. One, the venting, the initial vent, an occasional vent is good.
Yes.
It releases something that you've kind of been repressing, but a consistent venting kind of reinforces yes. the positive feeling you have after venting, and it makes you want to be more negative on a consistent basis. And the long-term effect of that is it makes you like a depressed, angry person. Not a clinically depressed, but like it makes you what conventionally you'd say as depressed, but an angrier person.
Yeah,
it pulls you deep.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And you know, the thing is, I wish we could have investigations that are actual investigations and not politically motivated nonsense investigations.
I think this is a real investigation.
This is a real one. This is a real one, right? And I'm afraid of this becoming a circus too, because all the Benghazi investigations were a joke. How many investigations do we have? 57.
What's the right thing to take away from these Mueller questions being leaked, if anything?
Well, I don't want to take away from the leaking of it, but in terms of the questions themselves, I'm happy that he's asking what appears to be the right questions, in my opinion. So, Mueller, go forward. God bless. Do your investigation, and let's see what they uncover. Mm-hmm. I'm curious to see what they uncover. What I don't like is the media circus surrounding the whole process.
Right.
Yeah, there's a couple. First of all, the fact that one of the questions, I think, talks about believing. He keeps saying Putin said there was no collusion, so I'm going to believe him over my own intelligence. And so at first you think, oh, maybe it's his ego because he thinks if Putin helped him win, then that means he didn't really win. But you go deeper and you go, no, he definitely knows some things were done. And it's this deny, deny, deny. It reminds me of the Eddie Murphy joke where he goes, when he gets caught, he goes, if your wife catches you having sex with someone else. Yeah, wasn't me. But here's where it turns, because his followers, I think, even if we get stuff that prove that he was guilty, they will listen to, he can you know, pivot. So in the joke, Eddie Murphy goes, yeah, baby, I effed her, but I make love to you. Right? That's coming. There was collusion.
Yeah. But I did it for you, baby.
But I did it for you, baby.
All right. We got to take a break. We got way more show after this, including new developments in the Iran-Israel nuclear deal discussion. More after this. Don't go away.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. You're only halfway through, so hold, stay right here. Just want to remind you, if you want to get all five segments of the Young Turks commercial free, these are just two of them. Every day we do it. So go to tytnetwork.com/join, and you'll get the whole five segments, 2 hours, ad free. Do it now.
Back to the second hour on TYT. It's your girl, Grace Baldridge. Been a while since I've been here. Welcome back to me. Joined by Maitha Al-Hassan and Ida Rodriguez. Maitha, this is our first panel together.
It is.
I'm very excited, a little nervous.
You said my name perfect. So... Yeah.
I did practice in the bathroom. I did excuse myself to powder my nose and practice your name in the bathroom.
That's the first step with me.
All right. So we have a wide variety of stories to get into. Off the top, I think we should just jump in with this bit of breaking news from the Kanye West front. Let's just talk about this, get this over with, and then we're going to be talking about Stormy Daniels, Meek Mill. We're going to be talking about charter schools, a whole mess of it. So with that said, let's just jump right in. Kanye West stopped by TMZ and he said a number of controversial things. One of them is that slavery, he says, quote, is a choice. We have a video from TMZ. Let's take a look right now.
You hear about slavery for 400 years. For 400 years, that sounds like a choice. Like, you was there for 400 years and it's all of y'all? You know, like, It's like we're mentally in prison. I like the word prison because slavery goes too direct to the idea of blacks. It's like slavery, Holocaust Jews, slavery is blacks. So prison is something that unites us as one race, blacks and whites being one race, that we're one, we're the human race.
Okay, so before I toss over to the panel, I want to apply a little bit more context because that was just Kanye West's quote. He then sort of turns it over to the newsroom in TMZ, and Van Lathan, who's a writer at TMZ, responded, and this is what he said. He says, "You're entitled to believe whatever you want, but there is fact and real world, real life consequence behind everything you just said. And while you are making music and being an artist and living the life that you've earned by being a genius, the rest of us in society have to deal with these threats to our lives. You have to deal with the marginalization that has come from the 400 years of slavery that you said for our people was a choice," ending by saying that he was disappointed, appalled, and unbelievably hurt by the fact that you have morphed into something that to me is not real. So really powerful words. This is going absolutely viral right now. What was the response when you guys saw this? I know this was sort of a breaking story that we got just before we went to tape. What did you think?
I think Kanye's really trying to sell an album. And I think that this is a social experiment, I hope. And he's trying to see if he can go as far as he can go and still get people to buy his albums and show people that he owns it. Like I said last time, and I got really angry about it. And then I started thinking and reflecting, and I'm like, why is Kanye West?
At TYT, we frequently talk about all the ways that big tech companies are taking control of our online lives, constantly monitoring us and storing and selling our data. But that doesn't mean we have to let them. It's possible to stay anonymous online and hide your data from the prying eyes of big tech. And one of the best ways is with ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN hides your IP address, making your active ID more difficult to trace and sell to advertisers. ExpressVPN also encrypts 100% of your network data to protect you from eavesdroppers and cyber criminals. And it's also easy to install. A single mouse click protects all your devices. But listen, guys, this is important. ExpressVPN is rated number one by CNET and Wired magazine. So take back control of your life online and secure your data with a top VPN solution available, ExpressVPN. And if you go to expressvpn.com/TYT, you can get 3 extra months for free with this exclusive link just for TYT fans. That's expressvpn.com/TYT. Check it out today.
Does he matter in my everyday? And he doesn't. And he doesn't matter in the lives of all of the people who have to go to work and all of the people who are suffering the effects of the systemic oppression that has been in place for hundreds of years, which is not a figment of anybody's imagination. And it wasn't a decision or a choice. It seems to me like it is Kanye's choice to be mentally imprisoned right now with this ideology that he's trying to drop on the young minds who are impressionable and listening to him. But as far as being disappointed, I mean, we really hold him to a high standard and really keep giving him a mic. And I just think that they need to cut Kanye's microphone off, because like I said last time, when Kanye tweeted a picture of his home and tweeted about his Tesla, he is completely disconnected from the struggle that every single person on the planet who is working to live another day, he is basking in his wealth and in his privilege, and he is completely disconnected to the everyday experience of those of us who have to go to work and really live in reality.
So, Maitha, do you think that Van Lathan's words really woke him up? Because it seemed like, in that moment, how incredibly bold that must have been to just stand up in this workroom and address Kanye West.
I was incredibly moved by Van Lathan's statements, because he was in a workspace, and he took it upon himself to intervene in this moment when the rest of the TMZ team was just listening to him without rebuke. And so I really wanted to see the interaction after Kanye came up to him and apologized, but apologized and then what? Mm-hmm. Apologized that he felt hurt and that was it. And I think this is, I couldn't agree with you more. I think this is a product also of our education system. We focus and emphasize more on opinions over curious questions. I mean, what is he tweeting about in terms of history? 400 years, he's erasing all the slave rebellions. He's erasing all the Nat Turners. He's erasing all the Harriet Tubmans. He's erasing the white abolitionists that fought against slavery, like John Brown, and sacrificed their lives.
And then the period afterwards that some historians call slavery by another name, the convict leasing system, the rise of the prison industrial complex, the way that this encoded in our laws, and how Jim Crow rises up as well. So this man is just literally speaking from the hip, and we are listening to him. And I think that's absolutely the issue, is when are we going to say, I don't want to give you the mic. Yeah. If folks can give him the mic, and I know we're talking about him too, but it's because his statements are so irresponsible, they do have consequences, and the right wing, the alt-right, is going to use it as fodder.
Yes.
And it's going to be such a devastating blow just for promotion.
Yeah. You know, he's so big on free thought. It's been sort of his main narrative that he's pushing right now. You can't stifle my free thought. This is just, you know, free thinking. I love people who think freely. But you have to recognize that this free thought is being used as basically just a pawn for a side that would serve to just further marginalize these communities. And I don't understand how he's not seeing that, and how he's not being manipulated. And how, when you see Donald Trump calling Kanye West out at a rally, you know, as this, you know, he is the spokesman for whatever cause, how he's being a puppet.
He mentioned blacks and Latinos. But it's also, it's contradictory. It's conflicting. When he was trying to do his clothing line, he was talking about how racism, remember, he was sitting in sweat?
He was marginalized.
Yeah. So it's just when it's convenient. It's whatever is, wherever the wind goes, and everybody keeps falling for it. Yep. He just talked about racism today. Mm-hmm. He was talking about racism. Racism is a result of slavery, right? So then, if slavery doesn't exist, why are you talking? Why does racism exist when it pertains to you, but not everybody else?
Yeah, well, let's move on. Let's not give him any more airtime. I think we broke that down. We're going to take a very bizarre turn, which is going to be a little bit about Stormy Daniels. So here's the latest on what's going on with Stormy Daniels. Stormy Daniels has filed a lawsuit against President Trump for defamation. Stormy Daniels filed the complaint in federal court in New York on Monday. At issue is a tweet Trump made in which he dismissed a composite sketch that Daniels says depicted a man who threatened her in 2011 to stay quiet about her alleged sexual encounter with Trump. Do we have that tweet? So this is the tweet in question. It says, a sketch years later about a non-existent man, a total con job, playing the fake news media for fools, parentheses, but they know it. So here's a little bit more about that filing. The filing says the tweet was false and defamatory, arguing that Trump was speaking about Daniels and that he knew that his false, disparaging statement would be read by people around the world, as well as widely reported. It also says Daniels has been exposed to death threats and other threats of physical violence. And just a little bit of an update on where we are with Stormy Daniels and her lawsuits against the president. The lawsuit is the latest legal move from Daniels, who already is suing to be released from a non-disclosure deal she agreed to days before the 2016 election in exchange for $130,000. The payment was made by the president's personal lawyer, Michael Cohen. Basically, the legal team, Stephanie Clifford, that is her legal name. Her attorney said, we intend on teaching Mr. Trump that you simply cannot make things up about someone and disseminate them without serious consequences. So my question for the panel is this the legal action that will set that precedent? Is this going to work effectively?
I don't know, but I hope that more sex scandals means that Trump has less time to govern. That's like what I sincerely hope. If he's embroiled in these sex scandals and he's only tweeting about those things, then hopefully he just turns his eye away from governing. I also wonder if like Kylie Jenner was a little prescient and naming her daughter Stormy could be the one who brings down this administration.
Wouldn't that be some foresight?
You know what? This stuff is surreal to me. We're having a conversation about a porn star and the president of the free world having an affair. This is a conversation that we're having, and the hypocrisy that I have seen in America is just so disgusting to me, because Bill Clinton, they drug him. And this, I mean, every day it gets saucier and saucier, like a soap opera, and we're still here. I'm just waiting on the day that America collectively wakes up and makes a decision that this is just not good enough for this country. Like, that's just where I am. It's just ridiculous. Also, the guy in the picture looks like Jax from Sons of Anarchy.
Oh, yeah, like
the sketch, or Brad Pitt.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm just like, I can't believe we're even having this.
Do you think his base cares about this?
Oh, of course not. They are
like obsessed with their confirmation bias. Yeah. They're only looking for things that support their worldview. Yeah. And so I don't know what the last nail, I'm sorry, as I said, I'm really bad with American proverbs, but the last nail in the coffin is for his supporters. I know there were some things, especially for women, that inspired them to detract from the movement. Mm-hmm. But I'm also looking forward to seeing what that red line is for folks, because not only did they drag Bill Clinton, imagine if Obama did this. Girl. It'd be his mortal sin.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point, just sort of the what-ifs in this situation and how we would have held Obama accountable and how the media would have responded to that. Because I kind of feel like this story with Stormy Daniels was a real hot topic at first, and now it's sort of lost its legs, and it doesn't really seem like people care. And I think that's in part because the right doesn't really want it to be a big issue, and for to an extent, a lot of people are like, it's his personal life, you know, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
But this is, we're talking about defamation, and that's serious. And I think that it is an interesting move that her legal team is trying to see if they can pull off. And I think that there's a case there for sure.
And credibility, even though we had this conversation the last time, and Hannah was like, well, I think you should be able to do whatever you want to do if you're an adult. I don't judge people and their morality or whatever. But this is an issue of credibility. Somebody who lies and is dishonest.
That's perjury.
And it's perjury. If you want to go legally, it's perjury. And then, and because they are always preaching morality, it's like, it's the same thing. It's this double standard.
Yeah, conservative family values.
Yeah.
And it is sort of this double standard. We have to go to a break right now. When we come back, we have a whole bunch of more stories. We're going to read some tweets as well. We're going to be talking about Meek Mill, charter schools, and I hope we get to this story, a Facebook dating app. So stay with us back after the break.
Thanks for watching what I hope was a lovely edition of the Young Turks. Now, you know that is two of the five segments that we do because that's free. We want to have you support independent media and come watch the whole show that we do every day. That's five segments overall, no ads at all. That's at tytnetwork.com/join. Come become a member. Thanks for watching either way. Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Young Turks. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, Cenk Uygur, and I'll see you soon.